My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virata Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord on which all species repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets, completed in the Honolulu Temple of the Panchatattva, June 5th, 1975. Can you read the purport? This is a supplementary note, Domino.
There is a supplementary note written by Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada in his Gaudiya Vasya. Its translation is as follows. Learned scholars who have full knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures agree that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. These incarnations are classified into two divisions called Prabhav and Vaibhav. According to the scriptures, Prabhav incarnations are also classified in two divisions, those which are called eternal and those which are not vividly described. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapters 3 through 6, there is a description of Rishabdeh, but there is not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. Therefore, he is considered to belong to the second group of Prabhav incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 3, Verse 13, it is said, Ashtame Garudevyam Tu Nabhe Jata Arukrama Dashayan Bhartman Hiranam Sarvashrama Namaskrita. Lord Vishnu appeared in the 8th incarnation as the son of Maharaj Nabhu, the son of Agnidra, and his wife Merudevi. He showed the path of perfection, the Paramahansa stage of life, which is worshipped by all the followers of Varnashram Dharma. Rishabdev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his body is spiritual, Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, one might ask how it might be possible that he passed through in Europe. The Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya, Baladeva Devushan, has replied to this question in his book known as Siddhanta Ratna, first portion, text 65 to 68. Imperfect men call attention to Rishabdev's passing stool in urine as a subject matter for the study of non-devotees who do not understand the spiritual position of the transcendental body. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.11, the illusioned and bewildered state of the materialist of this age is fully described. Elsewhere in the fifth canto, 5.5.19, Rishabdev stated, Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam. This body of mine is inconceivable for materialists. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Avajananti maam mudha manasim tanamasritam param bhavam ajananto maam abhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. The human form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult to understand, and in fact, for a common man it is inconceivable. Therefore, Rishabdev has directly explained that his own body belongs to the spiritual platform. This being so, Rishabdev did not actually pass through in urine. Even though he superficially seemed to pass through in urine, that was also transcendental and cannot be imitated by any common man. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the stool and urine of Rishabdev were full of transcendental fragrance. One may imitate Rishabdev, but he cannot imitate him by passing stool that is fragrant. The activities of Rishabdev, therefore, do not support the claims of a certain class of men, known as Arhat, who sometimes advertise that they are followers of Rishabdev. How can they be followers of Rishabdev while they act against the Vedic principles? Shukadev Goswami has related that after hearing about the characteristics of Lord Rishabdev, the king of Konka, Venka and Kutak initiated a system of religious principles known as Arhat. These principles were not in accord with the Vedic principles and therefore they are called Pashanda Dharma. The members of the Arhat community considered Rishabdev activities material. However, Rishabdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore he is on the transcendental platform and no one can compare to him. Rishabdev personally exhibited the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tavanalastadvanam alihana saha tena tadaha. At the conclusion of Rishabhdev's pastimes, an entire forest and the Lord's body were burned to ashes in a great forest fire. In the same way, Rishabhdev burned people's ignorance to ashes. He exhibited the characteristics of a Paramahansa in his instructions to his sons. The principles of the Arhat community, however, do not respond to the teachings of Rishabhdev. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan remarks that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another description of Rishabhdev, but that Rishabhdev is different from the one described in this canto. End of the 5th canto.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurdave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Mam Hrim Shom Om Varom Tataka Hadaka Keshvi Dilat Parikalochana Bhadharaka Nakasparsity Vasingha Namostate. So in this verse we hear of the inconceivable pastimes of Lord Rishabhdev. It is described here that Lord Rishabhdev is a Prabhav incarnation of the Lord. Krishna's original form is Swayam Rupa, and in his Swayam Rupa he never leaves Vrindavan because he's too much attached to his devotees and they're too much attached to him. So Krishna in his Swayam Rupa, his original form, he never goes outside of Vrindavan. But for his unlimited pastimes, both within the spiritual world, within the realm of Goloka, and also within the Vaikuntha planets, as well as his various incarnations, avatars within the material creation, the Lord expands from the Swayam Rupa, from the original form, into various other expansions called Prabhav and Vaibhav. The Vaibhav expansions are like Lord Balaram, and they assist the Lord in his various transcendental leelas. Prabhupada calls them his emotional expansions. Leela avatars are his emotional expansions, like Lord Balaram. The leela, his transcendental leela with his devotees. And the Prabhav expansions appear outside of Vrindavan, such as his Vasudeva expansions in Mathura and Dwarka. So Lord Rishabhdev is a Prabhav expansion of the category of Shaktavasha Avatar. Shaktavasha Avatar means a living entity who is particularly empowered by the Lord to act on his behalf. And we should not underestimate the potency of the Lord to empower such a living entity. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada states that the Lord is always ready to invest his full potencies in his unalloyed devotees. Therefore, we cannot actually comprehend the activities of such a personality as Srila Prabhupada, what he did and what he's going to do with this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Lord Chaitanya himself preached Krishna consciousness in Bharatvarsa, in India. But Srila Prabhupada has taken that mission all over the world. So in one sense, it appears that Prabhupada has done more than Lord Chaitanya. He has. But that is Lord Chaitanya's desire. So Prabhupada is also Shaktavasha Avatar. One time, devotees were speaking with Prabhupada, and they asked Srila Prabhupada, why didn't Lord Chaitanya take Krishna consciousness all over the world? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have done it just like that. He's so powerful. So Prabhupada stood up very proudly and he said, because he wanted me to do it. So this is the this is the transcendental relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The devotee likes to glorify the Lord, but the Lord, he also likes to glorify his devotee. So we see these transcendental pastimes happening. So Shaktavasha Avatar means one who is empowered by the Supreme Lord. Just like Brahma, although we don't see Brahma as Shaktavasha Avatar, Actually, he's described as Shaktavishavata. He's Guna Avatar, but in the TLC, Prabhupada also describes him as Shaktavisha Avatar. So Brahma can create this entire universe by the potency of the Lord, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, the Lord whom he worships, he can create. But we see that Krishna has empowered Śrīla Prabhupāda to deliver the entire universe. Ebayash Gukshatvi Bhuvana, that the glories of the pure devotee, such as Śrīla Prabhupāda, they're known throughout the Tribhuvana, throughout the three worlds. So in this way we can appreciate how Krishna can empower his devotee to create or to deliver. We should not underestimate the potency of the Lord's ability to infuse transcendental energy, shakti, into his devotee. A devotee is not limited by his body, but rather a karmi is limited by his body, by his mind and by his senses. He can only do that much. We discussed this the other day somewhere, that the limits of a human being can be seen at the Olympics. What you can do as a human being can be seen at the Olympics. You can jump so high, you can run so far, you can turn so fast. There's limits. Nowadays they don't break it by very big margins, a few seconds, a few milliseconds, they break their records. But we can see how much a human being can do on the physical platform. But practically speaking, on the transcendental platform, it's unlimited what a personality can do by the grace of God. It's unlimited. Just like sometimes we push ourselves in devotional service and we think we can't really do much more. But actually then we go on a marathon or something like that and we see by the transcendental potency of following the instruction of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya, we even amaze ourselves what we can do. So devotional service is not limited by these bodies, but rather it is simply dependent upon our intense desire to perform it. Savai pumsham padar dharmo yato bhakti radoksaji ahaituki apatiyata yayatma shupasidati. Ahaituki apatiyata means unmotivated and uninterrupted. It is not based on any material condition, what one can do in the service of the Lord. And yayatma shupasidati, that type of devotional service is completely satisfying to the self. So the Lord can empower his devotee accordingly. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So according to our surrender to the Lord, he reciprocates with us. If we surrender 25% to the Lord, we get 25% reciprocation. 50%, 50%, 100%, 100%. So we want the mercy of Krishna. We're devotees. We want the mercy of Krishna. We've seen how Krishna has given his mercy to some of his devotees. When Draupadi had no other recourse but to put both hands up in the air and call out, Hey Govinda, for his mercy, then Krishna reciprocated fully. Because Prahlad Maharaj was completely surrendered to the Lord, he was able to see the Lord in his form as Lord Narasimhadev. Never before seen, wonderful form of the Lord. He got the personal darshan. When Dhruva Maharaj realized how insignificant were his gross material desires in preference to devotional service of the Lord, he got the darshan of the Lord. So these are examples of devotees who atmanivedanam, who surrendered everything to the Lord, and as a result of surrendering, Krishna gave everything. So if we want mercy, and we do want mercy because we're in a fallen condition, that mercy is reciprocable. Just like also with the spiritual master, if one who is the representative of the Lord, if one wants the mercy of the spiritual master, then one must be able to reciprocate accordingly. If one wants a lot of mercy from the Lord and his devotees, then one must be able to reciprocate with that mercy equally. 25%, 25%, 50%, 50%, 100%, 100%. So this Atmanivedanam is a very important principle in devotional service, and we can't expect big mercy unless we have big surrender. So we can see that in personalities like Narada, the Lord is fully reciprocating. Therefore, sometimes Narada is called Bhagavan Narada. It's like Krishna is called Bhagavan. But sometimes, because devotees, they act on the same level of Krishna, or they appear to act in a greater way than Krishna. They appear to be like that by the Lord's grace. Sometimes this term Bhagavan is also given to them. They're so powerful, they're also called Bhagavan. Shiva is also called Bhagavan sometimes. Shiva Purana. He's referred to as Bhagavan. So therefore, people who don't have a perfect understanding of Vedic knowledge, Vedaischarsaham eva vedyo vedantakrit veda vedevacham, that Krishna is actually the goal of the Vedas. If they don't know that, then sometimes when they hear the activities of Brahma, or they hear the activities of Shiva, or even they may hear the activities of Narada, they may think, oh, this is Bhagavan. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they're so powerful. But then we have to look to the activities of those personalities themselves, such as Shiva. Shiva's always meditating on somebody. He's meditating on the Lord. And when Narada, he was so impressed with his father, just like a young boy is very impressed with his father. It's natural, isn't it? So Narada was very impressed with his father, Brahma. He worshipped him. But then one day he saw Brahma sitting in meditation. And he could appreciate that Brahma was meditating on someone else. So he approached his father. He said, I thought you were the greatest, but I can see that actually you are meditating upon someone else. So who is that person? And then Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Vajami. So these personalities are great, but as we know, nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobahanam yovadidati kamam. Out of all the eternal created beings, or out of all the eternal beings, there is Eka, there is one, who is fulfilling the desires of everyone, and that is Krishna. So in this chapter, Lord Rishabhdev's activities have been given, but as it's mentioned here in the purport, there's not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. So therefore, gross materialists may easily misunderstand his transcendental pastimes, like his passing stool and urine. Krishna also passes urine in the spiritual world. But if one doesn't understand through hearing from devotees and from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord's transcendental nature, he may very easily misunderstand that the Lord has a body like our body. But here it's described that when Lord Rishabhdev passed stool and urine, it was so fragrant that it could be, the fragrant smell could be, you could smell it for miles around, it was so fragrant, indicating his transcendental body. So without proper guidance, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. Naham prakasya sarvasya yoga maya samavitaha. Krishna says in the Gita that I am never manifest to the foolish and to the unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So if we want to understand Krishna's spiritual activities, we actually want to enter into them, we must depend upon the mercy of Krishna. Otherwise you can't understand. Only when Krishna wants to reveal himself to a personality can that person see. Even if you can see Krishna, there were persons who saw Krishna 5,000 years ago, but they didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if you can see him, only by his mercy can you comprehend him, can you understand him. Just like Arjuna, he got spiritual eyes to see the Lord. He was standing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he wanted to see the universal form, so Krishna gave him spiritual vision. He gave him divine eyes by which he could see. And he could appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his mercy. He got the spiritual eyes. You can keep that door open. Everyone's a little sleeping. He got the spiritual eye. Duryodhana saw the same universal form, the Virata Rupa. But although he saw the same universal form, it wasn't the same reaction, because he didn't get Krishna's mercy along with it. He got partial mercy that he saw the form, but he didn't get the total comprehension to understand, here's the Supreme Lord, I'm his servant, let me immediately bow down to him. Rather, he remained inimical, Duryodhana. Krishna tried to convince Duryodhana that they shouldn't engage in this battle of Kurukshetra, because they're going to lose. Just like the allies, they tried to convince Saddam Hussein that he was going to lose the war. Superior air power, superior technology, 27 countries against him. So although they preached and preached and preached, if you want to call it that, Saddam Hussein, he just couldn't understand. So he learned the hard way. Now he's defeated. So Duryodhana was in the same position, a materialistic person, envious of Krishna, So when the Lord revealed the universal form, there was some partial understanding, some partial realization, but there wasn't full surrender, so therefore the battle had to take place. And he also lost. He and all his brothers and the crews, they also lost. So seeing Krishna is not just dependent upon these eyes. One has to get the mercy of Krishna to see. Because even if they see, they can't appreciate. Hiranyakashipu, by the mercy of Prahlad, he got to see Lord Narasimhadev. But when Lord Narasimhadev came out of the pillar, a wonderful form never before seen, half man, half lion, then Hiranyakashipu's reaction, what is this beast? What is this half man, this half lion? What type of beast is this? This is what he was thinking. And Prahlad had never seen the form either. It's described, it's never before seen. So when this wonderful, inconceivable form, who could conceive of a half man, half lion? It doesn't exist. No one had ever seen half man, half lion. So Hiranyakashipu is like, what weird beast is this? But Prahlad, because he had full faith in the Lord, my Lord, your pastimes are inconceivable. Just see how wonderful you are, that you have appeared, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, you have manifested a form which is so appropriate for this pastime. Because according to the benediction given by Brahma, it was practically inconceivable how Hiranyakashipu would be killed. But the Lord is the cheaters of the cheat, as Prabhupada said. He's the greatest cheater. So he cheated this benediction. Actually, he wanted to prove true the words of his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, and keep intact the promise by Brahma. Very complicated situation. But he did it by appearing in this wonderful form of Lord Narasimhadev, half man, half lion. So immediately when Prahlad, he saw that form, he didn't speculate, what is this? How? He said, my dear Lord, this is wonderful. Half man, half lion. Now you're killing my father. You're taking him on his, you're tearing out his intestines. This is wonderful, my Lord, how you're doing all this. You're proving true my words that the Lord is all pervading. And simultaneously you are keeping intact Lord Brahma's benediction, because he's also your devotee. You know, you're so wonderful how you deal with your, you satisfy all your devotees simultaneously. There's no contradictions in the service of the Lord. It's all reconciled in Krishna's wonderful, transcendental, inconceivable nature. Just look, you're killing my father, and you're not killing him on the land, you're not killing him in the air, you're not killing him on the water, you're killing him on your lap. You're not killing him at day, you're not killing him at night, it's twilight. And you're not, he's not being killed by any man, by any animal, but a half-man, half-animal form of the Lord. And not by any man-made weapon or anything, but by the nails of your beautiful lotus-like hands, and you're just ripping him, Hare Krishna. So these are the two different reactions that were seen by Prahlad, the devotee, and the demon Hiranyakashipu. So the demons can never appreciate the inconceivable. They become more bewildered. When they hear that Lord Rishabhdev passed stool and urine, they become bewildered. You're saying he's an incarnation of it, stool and urine. But they don't know. They can't appreciate that. That stool and urine smells just like rose perfume. Well, Krishna apparently left a material body. Why? Because that's how they want to see him, as material. All of them, as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. So they want to forget God. So God gives them unlimited intelligence to forget him. And if you want to remember God and realize God, he'll give you unlimited intelligence how to perceive. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matash mithir ginam apohanam cha. Krishna says, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So the knowledge to know God, that has been given, remembrance, and the knowledge to forget him also. So Krishna will act in such a way that these people can forget him. So he performs so many transcendental pastimes that it seems pretty reasonable. He's the Supreme Lord. But because they want to forget Krishna, because they're envious of Krishna, to satisfy their nonsense, he apparently leaves a material body when he leaves this earth, Krishna. Or he passes stool and urine as Lord Rishabhdev. Ah, just see, okay, Krishna is just an ordinary man. So according to our desire to know the Lord, he will reciprocate accordingly. The demons, they want to kill God. The Mayavadis, they want to ignore God. And the devotees, they want to love God. So all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the demons want to kill Krishna, so Krishna kills them. He reciprocates. You want to kill me? All right, I'll kill you. This is my reciprocation. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. The Mayavadis, they want to ignore him, so Krishna allows them to ignore him, to merge into the Brahman. But the devotees want to love him, so Krishna reciprocates with that love. But demons always think of Krishna as ordinary, even though there's so much substantial evidence to the contrary. Avijananti mamudha manushin tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananta mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and that I am the supreme lord of all that be. They always think that Krishna is an ordinary man, even if they get good advice. We told a story in Christchurch of Ravana. Ravana was in the midst of the battle with Ram in Sri Lanka, and he could see Kumbhakarna had been killed, many of his soldiers had been killed. It was inconceivable. They had superior military might. They were fighting monkeys and bears who just had clubs and were throwing little stones. But they were losing the battle. This was inconceivable. We couldn't figure it out. We know it's the mercy of Krishna. But they were thinking, he was thinking, how is this possible? So Ravan went down to the hellish worlds to visit Bali. And when he got there, he tried to get into the planet or the kingdom of Bali. But there was some guard standing there. He couldn't get in. And every time he tried to enter, this little guard was so expert, he couldn't do it. So finally, after great effort, Ravana was able to enter into the abode of Bali. There's this little guard there to keep me away. Anyway, so then he met Bali and he said, "Who's this guard you have here at your and coming into your world?" He said, "He said that guard is Lord Narayan. That's Lord Vishnu." He said, "You can't get in." He said, "Well, I did it. I made it." "Well, that's only because he lets you in." No. So then Bali said, "Well, what can I do for you?" So Ravan said, "Well, there's this Ram up there, and we're engaged in this mighty battle. And, he's just this ordinary man, but he seemed to be especially powerful. I just need some advice how to defeat him." So Bali said, "Forget it. You can't defeat Lord Ram. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, owner of all opulences. There's no way you're going to defeat such a person." But he was insistent. He's just an ordinary man. Ravan said, I can defeat him. But with all the preaching that Bali was giving, still he couldn't appreciate. Because demons never appreciate the inconceivable nature of God. So just as one last try, Bali took him outside. And there was this huge mountain of diamonds. The diamonds were as big as this whole temple room, boulders. So he said, "If you can pick up this mountain, I'll give it to you." Immediately, Ravan, they love these type of things. So he went, and he was a very powerful person, Ravan. So he felt very confident he could lift it, but he just picked it up. Poof! He couldn't do it. He's amazed. Can't pick up this mountain. So then Bali said, "Just step back a little bit now. Look at it closely. What does it look like to you?" He said, Ravan said, it looks like an earring. "It looks like an earring." So then Bali said, "Yes." He said, "This was the earring of Hiranyakashipu, who was killed by Lord Vishnu in a previous age." He said, "You, Ravana, were previously Hiranyakashipu. And now you can't even pick up your own earring. You were so great then that you could wear an earring as big as a mountain because you were so huge. But now as Ravan, you can't pick it up. But Vishnu killed you in that birth when you were greater and more powerful than now. So you don't think he can kill you in this birth? It's the same Vishnu." But even after hearing that instruction, he still couldn't accept. So this is the demons. They desire to be killed by Krishna. So he kills them. Impersonalist desire to be. Ignore the Lord, he ignores them. Devotees want to love the Lord. So he reciprocates by giving them the opportunity to love them. So we want to appreciate and understand Lord Bishabdev's transcendental pastimes And we depend upon Krishna's mercy, just like Krishna gave the mercy to Arjuna. Now I give you divine eyes, behold my universal form. Without the Lord's blessings, you can't see Krishna's form like that. So Arjuna got some special mercy. He got Guru Kripa. Because Krishna was his guru. Sometimes Krishna becomes the guru. He was Brahma's guru. He's also the guru of the residents of Vrindavan. So he got some special mercy. He got some Guru Kripa. So what about us? We want to see Krishna. So, but we also have the mercy to see Krishna. What is that mercy? We have Sadan Kripa. The Prabhupada said if we shouldn't sit around and wait for that. May or may not be there. One doesn't say, well, it's been 20 years now, I haven't got that mercy. Better take up the process of devotional service, because that's also mercy. That's Sadan Kripa. And Sadan Kripa, the instructions of the spiritual master, that also awakens our spiritual senses. Everyone can see Krishna. Just as you see me sitting here, you can also see Krishna. But Atashi Krishna Nabadi, Nabaved Graham Indriya. Not with these material senses. You have to purify your senses. Just like a young child, we have these little children, or with some small baby. A small baby cannot understand some complicated mathematical formula. But it doesn't mean that eventually she can't understand. The inherent ability is there within the child. As the child matures, her intelligence will mature, and that complicated mathematical formula will become just like ABCs. Now it's impossible to understand. But she has to mature. Her senses, her material senses, have to be awoken by age. So in the same way, within each of us is the inherent ability to see and to perceive God. But we have to awaken those spiritual senses. That is the process of devotional service. Anyone can see Krishna, but you have to accept the process of sadhan bhakti, which gradually purifies, actually more than purifies, it saturates. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavedgram. What is the next two lines? Swami. That only when one's senses are saturated, it says, with devotional service, can one understand the transcendental name, form, fame, paraphernalia of the Lord, etc. So the process of devotional service is that we are saturating our senses 24 hours a day with Krishna consciousness, and then we will be able to perceive. So this sadhan bhakti, it gradually awakens these spiritual senses. Actually what it does, it awakens our spiritual body. We develop our spiritual body through sadhan bhakti. Just like Prabhupada said, material desire is a subtle form of conditioning. What is that conditioning? You get a body. By your material desire, you develop this body. This body is exactly what you wanted. Exactly what you wanted when you left your last body. It's exactly. Your desires, those material desires, produce this body, produce the nose you have. You don't like the nose you have? You don't like the eyes you have? Well then, you know, it's your own fault because it was according to your desires. All the senses that you have are there as a result of your activities in a previous lifetime. The ear, the nose, the eyes, what you like, what you don't like. You've developed it on the basis of your material desire. As they say, you made the bed, now you have to sleep in it. So, you know, we've got this body as a result of our material desire. So similarly, by spiritual activity, by following the instructions of devotional service, we develop our spiritual body. So we have to be very careful in developing the spiritual body. Right now we're in the infantile stage of devotional service. And we have to be very careful, just like a pregnant woman. She has to be careful what she eats, what she does, etc., etc., because the child, the fetus, is actually growing. So if she's not careful to take proper nutrition and proper nourishment, what happens? The fetus becomes deformed. There's a disease called rickets. Rickets is a bone disease which you actually get in the womb. You don't get it elsewhere. You get it in the womb. And it's a result of a deficiency in calcium. So if the mother doesn't drink enough milk or get enough milk products like ghee, and it's no problem in our movement, but ghee and butter and things like this, then the baby can get rickets, which means the bones are very brittle. You can just go and crack. These are the bones that are very subtle, especially in babies. You can drop a baby. Don't try it, but you can drop a baby. Like you can drop a cat, right? You can drop a cat from any distance and it'll land on his feet. Or even if you drop it here, it lands right on his feet. So nature's arrangement is the bones are very subtle, subtle. Subtle. Is that the right word?
Supple.
And therefore you can drop a baby from here, boing, it just bounces up. But if the baby has rickets, then if you drop the baby like a china pot, you know, everything's off, you can't put it back together again. All of Humpty Dumpty's, you know, anyway. You can't put it all back together again. So the mother has to be very careful to take all the proper nutrition. Anything missing means there'll be that much deficiency in the baby of the body of the baby. So it's developing its material body in the womb. So we are in the womb of ISKCON, Prabhupada said. This is the womb of Krishna. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the womb of Krishna, where we have taken our birth by the mercy of Guru and Garanga. Brahmanda Brahmati Kaun, Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasad, Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. That seed of devotional service is planted by the mercy of Guru and Garanga. They place us in Krishna's womb. We are protected here, just like Freud said. Everyone's designed to go back to the womb of their mother where it's very warm and you're very comfortable, etc. But that's a fact if you're in the womb of ISKCON, in the womb of Krishna, because here you do receive full protection, full nourishment, full inspiration, full encouragement, etc. And we're not the womb of the mother. That birth, nothing wonderful about that birth. Janame janame savi pita mata paya Krishna guru nahimin bajariye. Everyone gets the womb of a mother and father in this material world. That's not very wonderful. But if one gets the mercy, the kripa of Guru and Krishna, that is wonderful. So we have got the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and we are in the womb of ISKCON. But we have to be very careful to take all the nutrition. Otherwise, we're going to get rickets, spiritual rickets. So what is the nutrition which is forming our spiritual body? Just like the mother, she takes certain things to develop the body of the baby in the womb. What are we developing as devotees in the womb of Krishna's ISKCON to develop our spiritual body? What is that that we're developing? That's all the rules and regulations of devotional service, bhajana kriya, this sadhan bhakti. And if we neglect any aspect of sadhan bhakti, we will have spiritual rickets. Our spiritual body will not be fully formed whereby we can perceive Krishna properly. What is the whole purpose of this movement? The whole purpose of this movement is to develop our dormant love for Krishna, to see Krishna. So therefore, it's important that everyone develop the spiritual body by following all the rules and regulations, beginning with Mangal Arati and japa, 16 rounds a day, then Srimad Bhagavatam class, then Guru Puja, then chanting and dancing like a madman, and then prasadam, and then devotional service throughout the day, and then finding some time to read Prabhupada's books, and then Bhagavad Gita class in the evening and more kirtan. Now we can say, that's a lot, you know, gosh. But what are we doing here? If we don't want to see Krishna, then what are we doing here? This movement is meant to go back home, back to Godhead. We're here for this. It's like a student who enrolls in it, who works so hard to get enough money to go to a university, finally gets there, just sits in his room and twiddles his thumbs all day. He's paid the price. He's at the university for what person? For what purpose? To graduate from that university. That's why he's here. So why are we here? We're here to love Krishna. That's the ultimate purpose of this movement. We want to become pure devotees of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in the absence. That's our goal. Krishna consciousness. We want to come to that platform. Give up the nasty material desires. Love Krishna. Go back home, back to Godhead. That's our goal. That's why we're here. So to do that, Prabhupada has given us the means to develop that spiritual body. To enter fire, one must be like fire. To enter the spiritual world, one must be pure. So here is the process. Here's the nourishment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we cannot neglect any aspect of the spiritual program. We can't. Otherwise, if we do, then we can expect there's going to be some deficiency in our ability to be Krishna conscious. We don't want that. So therefore, what does that mean? Full morning program. Everyone should come. Those who don't come, that means they don't really understand why they're here. You want to love Krishna. You can't love Krishna unless you have that pure spiritual form. And to get that, you have to follow all the rules and regulations. You have to get all the nutrients and all the ingredients to develop that spiritual body whereby you can perform devotional service. So that is Prabhupada's mercy. We talk about the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The mercy is there in the form of his instructions. Right now we can't see Krishna because we have this disease condition. But Oma Gyan Timadandasya Ginangina Shalakaya, that we offer obeisances to the lotus feet of our spiritual master, who has opened our eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge while we were standing blinded by the darkness of material life. So Shalakaya in Sanskrit, that means like scalpel. So if you get a cataract on your eye and you go to the doctor with a scalpel, with a knife, he can remove that cataract and then you can see. So our disease condition is being removed by the Shalakaya, or the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. His mercy is there in his instructions. And if one doesn't follow the instructions of his guru, he won't experience Krishna's mercy. He won't feel the strength. He'll feel weak and worn. If one accepting guru is not just a principle, but it means we have to follow the instructions and there has to be reciprocation, then we get the proper strength. And through his mercy, we can see Krishna. Just like once Ramanujacharya was walking on the street in one town in South India. And he saw one man, his name was, I think, Danurdas. So this Danurdas, he was a wrestler from a nearby village, very handsome man, and he was simply walking through the crowd, holding an umbrella over a beautiful woman, simply enchanted by her attractive features. He'd lost all humility, because he was just, you know, you can imagine at this time in India, you know, these things just didn't happen, you know. Women were very discreet and there was not much association. But this man is holding an umbrella over the woman, walking along, just completely enchanted by her eyes, like this. And he was oblivious to all the jokes that were being made of him and what people were thinking, because he was just enchanted by her beautiful eyes, like this. So Ramanuja took compassion upon him. He said, call that man over. So one of his servants went over, and it took quite some effort to get Danurdas away from looking at that woman. Yes, what is it? Yes, what do you want? Yes, okay. What is it? So the man said, my spiritual master wants to speak to you, Ramanuja. I said, I heard him. Yes, what is it? So he went over to speak to Ramanuja, and Ramanuja said, if I can show you a pair of eyes even more beautiful than those of your beloved, will you give them up? So the man had a little piety in him. He said, yes, if you can show me, but I don't think you can show something more beautiful than her. So he said, you come to my ashram tonight. So this man, Danurdas, he went to the ashram of Ramanuja, and then together they took a walk to the temple, Ranganath temple. And they happened to arrive right at Artik time. Now in India, lots of times in South India especially, the deity is situated in the inner recess of the temple. There's a chamber. Not like our deities are very prominently displayed, but in India they create a kind of mystical effect, you know. And we saw this in a lot of Nisringadev temples. You know, Nisringadev is way at the back of the temple, like a cave, you know, and they've got these lights and it's just, wow, it's really nice. So the same is with Ranganath deity. And he's at the back of the Ranganath temple, way, way at the back there. So they just happened to arrive at the Artik time. So the Lord, his form was illuminated, just like when we offer these, the ghee wicks, the ghee lamp. Why are we doing that? To illuminate the transcendental form of the Lord. So The pujaris were illuminating Krishna's form, and his beautiful lotus-like eyes stood out very nicely. So they were so captivating and so beautiful that by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, this Dhanadas, he became completely intoxicated, completely attracted with these beautiful eyes. So Ramanuja said, "So now do you see a difference?" He said, "Yes, my lord." He said, "Thank you very much. I will never again look at the attractive features of Maya." So many people may visit the temple, but through the mercy of one's guru, one can appreciate the beautiful eyes of the Lord, or any aspect of the Lord's transcendental form. So that mercy comes through his instructions, through hearing, just like one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was giving a lecture on Krishna consciousness. And then nearby the artic began, the conch blew. So right in the middle of his lecture, two of his disciples stood up and they walked out of the lecture and they went to see the artic, to see Krishna. So later they came back and they sat back down in the lecture, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped and he said, "Where were you?" "Oh Guru Maharaj, we went to see Krishna." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "You only saw stone. If you want to see Krishna, you have to listen to me. You have to hear and follow the instruction. Then you can see Krishna." So this is how we perceive Krishna as devotees, through the words of the Supreme Lord and his representative. So Prabhupada's instructions are there, and through those instructions we'll eventually be able to perceive the Lord by purifying our senses. But if we don't follow all those instructions, our ability to try to see Krishna is just like the eyes on a peacock. You've seen the eyes on a peacock? He's got lots of eyes, a peacock. The peacock eyes on his feathers, but they're useless. They're very beautiful eyes, but they can't see a thing. So in the same way, we want to see Krishna, then we have to have the real spiritual vision, which comes to the mercy of the Lord by following instructions. Otherwise, Padma Lochan, what is it? Kanachadar Nam Padma Lochan. That means the logic of a blind boy called Padma Lochan. The boy was born blind, but his father had the audacity to give him the name Padma Lochan, beautiful lotus-like eyes. His son was blind, all the eyes are like this. And his father said, "Oh well, call him Padma Lochan, beautiful lotus-like eyes." Kanachalarnam, Padma Lochan. So we are the beautiful Hare Krishna people. That was the, they used to say like that in the early 70s. They used to call us the beautiful Hare Krishna people. So if we really want to be beautiful, then we have to have those beautiful lotus-like eyes, which come by following the instructions, all the instructions of Guru and Gauranga, and then we'll actually have that spiritual vision, and we'll also be able to help other people see as well. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Lakshmi, you have any questions? Did you understand everything? Yes? Are you going to chant 16 rounds a day? When you get bigger, right? You come to the full morning program? Every day? Yes. See, children are healthy because of Gurukul, they come every morning. Isn't it? Every morning the kids come. So they're happy and healthy, materially and spiritually. So this is the healthy life as Chaitanya Rat. Okay. How many devotees are coming to Waikiki? That's not Waikiki. Waikiki, that's Hawaii. We'll be going there today. We're going to the second best thing, Waiheke Beach. How many devotees are going to go to that Waiheke Beach? Oh, well, quite a number. Lakshmi, you're coming? You're not coming? You don't have enough money? I'll pay for you. We'll talk about it after. So we have a nice program arranged there. Actually, Balabhadra and Shikhandi have worked very hard on this program, and that there's going to be really nice prasadam also. First class prasadam, we're going to have Harinam, Kirtan, morning and evening programs, and tomorrow we have a big festival program. We're expecting quite a number of people there. So this is also a very nice way in which devotees can associate. We found that the Padayatra, that was one of the nicest things about, there were many nice things about Padayatra. There was a lot of preaching going on, but I appreciated it particularly just because of the mood of being out like that and traveling and being away from our regular duties, it gave the devotees an opportunity to associate in many different ways. So that was one of the nicest things about Padayatra, intimate association. So we're expecting some really nice intimate association. Bhrigupati Prabhu is coming, Alanath Prabhu. Many devotees are going to be coming. So if you're undecided, then please decide to come. And if you can't come because of your various duties and responsibilities, that's understandable. Otherwise, try to make. I think Brigo's taking a book distribution. He's like the first assault on the island. You know, the amphibious assault. The first wave is General Bhrigupati and his soldiers. They're doing amphibious landing. I think at around 10:20 this morning is amphibious landing of the book distributors. They're the guerrilla warfarers. I was just reading. Forgive me, but I was just reading how the whole war was successful in Iraq. And it was one of the main reasons it was successful is because they put soldiers in behind enemy grounds even before war was declared. They had these British SEALs and Marines and so forth, and they were like scouting the whole place out. And when the planes came in, they had these special laser beams which they guided the bombs right into the spots. Imagine how advanced their technology. They had these laser beams so the airline pilots would shoot the bomb, and then the Marines on the ground, like you have those little kids have those toy planes, you know. So they got behind enemy grounds and they just organized the whole war. They're like the unknown soldiers, you know. You don't hear about them because their mission is secret. But that was the first wave. So Brigu, he's going in there. He's our general brigadier. General Brigadier Das is going in with his Marines and SEALs, and they're going to plant the first bombs there in the forms of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental books. And the second wave is coming in with Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Nam. And they're going to be dropping leaflets. I was also reading how one of the main reasons that the Iraqis gave up is because they bombarded them with these leaflets that were preaching to them. You know, this is your crazy following this Saddam Hussein. He's just a nonsense dictator. But you know, we promise you that we'll liberate your country and this and that. And you know, they were reading these things in the foxholes while the B-52s were bombing the hell out of, you know. Surrender, okay, surrender. So they dropped these leaflets, and by these leaflets, they practically, you know, destroyed the whole morale of the Iraqi army and caused them to surrender. So in the same way, we have these leaflets inviting people to the Saturday program, and we're gonna kill their faith in the material nature, in the materialistic way of life. You know, by reading this pamphlet and coming to the program, we're gonna kill that morale that I'm gonna be successful in the material world. So then, as the war progressed, those that couldn't surrender one way or the other, they just bombed the hell out of them. So we also, as our last ultimate weapons, we're going to have prasad. For those persons who can't take a book, you know, they don't get the mercy of General Brigadier Das Pati, and you know, they're not convinced by the pamphlets that we distribute, then the last bomb, we're going to have a lot of gulabs there. First, we're going to fix up the morale of our own troops. We're going to have a gulab throwing contest. Right? We're going to fill ourselves up with that. Army runs on his stomach. Have lots of gulabs like that. Then we're going to go out there, preach the divine command, Lord Chaitanya. And if there's anybody left who hasn't got the mercy, they're going to get prasadam. And if they don't come to the program, at least they're going to hear the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And ourselves, we're going to have a lot of transcendental fun. So please, if you're a little bit undecided, please come over there. If somebody has some financial problem, I mean, we'll try to make some arrangement, try to help you. So if you want to come, you can't do it, then just send me a little note. Dear Maharaj, I want to go to war, but I don't have the money. We'll try to make some arrangement. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhagavatam.